Welcome to Calvary Christian Church's podcast. We're located on the North Shore of Boston and are committed to being a balanced ministry with a personal touch. Each week, one of our pastors will deliver biblical encouragement and practical application tips for everyday faith living. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the message.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You may be seated. Welcome, one and all. So good to have you here in person. And so good to have so many of you still joining us online. Welcome, welcome. And if this is your first time, please be sure, as the invitation has already been given, please be sure to connect with us so that we can connect with you. Awesome to have you here. If this is your first time here, I usually mention on this particular Sunday, we want you to know as a first-time visitor that today is a once-a-year event in our church when our singular focus is that of moving in faith to raise financial resources to send the gospel around the world through our missionary staff. We make no apologies for this focus today, for the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ is our primary mission in this temporary life. Nothing else is even a close second. We've heard the gospel repeatedly, hundreds and thousands of times, while 3.27 billion eternal souls have not. And that is not fair. And we are going to change that today. In fact, we are not only going to change the world today, we are going to change all eternity, because the faith promises that we make today will mean the difference in how many missionaries are released to take the gospel overseas and how many tens of thousands around the world will hear the gospel for the first time in the coming year. Calvary Christian Church, we're going to change the world today. Amen. 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 Pastor Ben, our missions pastor, I just want to thank you and thank our missions convention committee. Would you let them know how much we appreciate all their hard work? Just an awesome, awesome job. And so we come to October, my favorite month of the year and my most challenging month of the year. As we climb this mountain every October, not a physical mountain, but a spiritual mountain. Some might think it's a financial mountain, but not really. For everything we read in the Bible about giving makes it clear unequivocally that the strength of our giving is directly tied to the strength of our spiritual walk and relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we climb this faith promise mountain every October, and every year the mountain seems a little higher, the challenge a little greater. Why? Because the world is a little bit bigger today than it was a year ago. And there are thousands more, millions more actually to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet 2 Peter 3:9 tells us how God feels about every one of those people. We read there that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you. How many are grateful that God was patient with you? And he was really patient with some of you, right? So God is patient, not wishing that any should perish, but that how many? But that all should reach repentance. But that will not happen without more missionaries bringing the gospel to those who have never heard it. And there will not be more missionaries taking the gospel to the world unless more of us are willing to give more than we did last year. Unless more of us are willing to take the Great Commission seriously and personally, and to understand that when Jesus spoke these words, he spoke them to every one of us here today who call ourselves a Christian and a follower of Christ. Our missions theme this year is All for Jesus, and our text is taken from Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Maybe you've read this before, where Jesus said this, and Jesus came and said to them, and I'm going to let you help me preach the sermon today. So every time we come to this little word all, since our theme is All for Jesus, I'll pause and give you a chance to help me preach, all right? All right? And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me for a word of prayer? Father God, thank you for this awesome opportunity we have to once again gather around your eternal and almighty word. Holy Spirit, come, quicken our hearts to receive your word today in a way that will change us so that we can be an instrument of God's grace to change the world, so that multitudes will have an opportunity to hear the gospel, because we will send missionaries to preach and share it with them. Hide your servant now behind the cross. And Lord Jesus, we will remember to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for all that is accomplished this day in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen, 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 and amen. All for Jesus. Word all is a powerful and extraordinarily important word. Imagine how powerful a sports team would be if all its players gave all they had in all their games. Imagine how powerful a church would be. Imagine the impact a church could have in the kingdom of God if all its members gave all they had to give in prayer, in ministry, and in finances. For that matter, imagine what one man, one woman, one young person can experience if and when they give all they have to seeking and serving God. Jeremiah 29, 13, God says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." When asked of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus responded by saying in Mark 12, 30, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength," or your ability, which includes your ability to earn an income. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That is what God gets when we love him with all the ways in which we can love him. Anybody there yet? Or are you like me, endeavoring every day, each day, to more fully commit all that you are to all that he desires for you to become? Today's service, today's commitment is about us giving our all for Jesus. And we give our all for Jesus. I give you at least three reasons today for us to give our all for Jesus. First, because Jesus gave his all for us. Jesus gave his all for us. Jesus left the richest, most beautiful, wonderful place in the universe, heaven, and came to earth, God himself in the flesh, and gave his life on the cross of Calvary to pay the price for our sins. John 3:16 still says it best, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." The Apostle Paul puts it like this in Romans 8:32, "He," that is God, "who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" Please understand that the salvation we enjoy today, the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life with Christ that we enjoy today, it cost God, it cost Jesus Christ the Son everything. Cost him everything. Salvation would not be possible if the Lord was not willing to give his all. So what is our response? What is our response to such a demonstration of grace, love, mercy, and total commitment? Once again, the Apostle Paul helps us, writing in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. He says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us," watch this phrase, "a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." If we're going to be imitators of God, if we're going to follow the example of Christ, it will mean giving ourselves up for him and the lost. It will mean, it will involve a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Remember that phrase. We will come back to it before the message is over today. Thank God for our missionaries who are willing to live such a life of sacrifice, forsaking all in order to carry the gospel to lost souls around the world. We give our all for Jesus because he gave his all for us. We give our all for Jesus because, number two, our missionaries are giving their all for the lost. Their inspiration is the Apostle Paul. who said in Philippians 3:8, "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost." You're getting weak now. Okay. You started out strong. What's the deal with that? Okay. Every time we come to the word, oh, it's your chance to speak. You know you want to speak. You know you have thoughts and you want to say something. Well, here's what you're allowed to say today. You're allowed to say, oh, all right. And amen, of course. All right. So let's try that again. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage. Think about that. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Or listen to Paul describe his missionary calling in Acts 20. "And now compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me." Amen. There's a verse for Faith Promise Sunday. "I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." That is the spirit. That is the attitude. That is the commitment of our 600 plus missionaries that we support. Missionaries like Zach Ricks, who was just with us last Sunday, taking his wife and three daughters into what is often referred to as the murder capital of the world, Honduras. I got to tell you, if that was my son or my son-in-law and daughter and my three granddaughters, and Jesus was calling them to go to the murder capital of the world, me and Jesus might have a conversation. But this is what it's all about. It's not just about us giving our money. It's about giving our time, our prayer. It's about us giving our lives. It's about us giving our children and our grandchildren. If the world is going to be reached, we must be willing to give of our very best. Our missionaries are giving their all for the lost. And make no mistake about it, there are many who pay the ultimate price, as more than 100,000 every year are giving their lives for the cause of Jesus Christ. And I promise you, only time will tell, but the news reports, and there's been some mention of this, I know, but not really very much. But I can tell you this, eventually we will hear of hundreds and probably more like thousands of Christians who were killed in Afghanistan after we pulled out of there. Thousands and thousands of Christians who had no other option but to lay down their life for the cause of Christ. Listen to what our Assemblies of God missionaries are doing around the world. We're privileged to have 2,685 missionaries in 252 countries and territories of the world as a part of our Assemblies of God fellowship. Again, we support 600 of those missionaries and missionary programs. In my dream of dreams, if you want to know my big all-time dream, it is that one day our faith promises will reach a point where we can support not 600 missionaries, but all 2,685 missionaries of the Assemblies of God. That'll take a little bit more than 2 million to do that, but amen, we'll take it one step at a time. By the way, about 30 of those 600 that we support are missionaries who were trained, equipped, mentored here at Calvary Christian Church. We thank God for what he's doing through our fellowship. We're working with 364,000 national missionaries, in other words, or ministers, in other words, native ministers in their native countries. 100 years ago, our Assemblies of God fellowship was formed with our forefathers declaring, "We commit ourselves and this movement to him," referring to the Lord, "for the greatest evangelism the world has ever seen." And from a gathering of some 300 men and women back in 1914, our fellowship has now grown to more than 70 million believers worldwide. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful to be a part of a fellowship that is being effective for the kingdom of God. I'm glad to be a part of a team that is working. You see, it works because people are committed not only to the Lord, but committed to reaching the lost and committed to working together. How many know we get a lot more accomplished when we all work together? There's so much more I could tell you about Assemblies of God World Missions. I encourage you, if you've never gone to AGWM, Assemblies of God World Missions, AGWM.org. You can go there and read all about what God is doing through our movement and through our fellowship. And again, we have given you the missionary staff prayer manual with all of our missionaries, at least most of them. Some of them, their pictures are blotted out for their safety and their security. But pray through this missionary staff manual. And another book we recommend to you is called Pray for the World. You can pick it up at christianbook.com. And or you can see Pastor Ben if you don't have the money or what. He'll pay for it himself. He'll get you one of these, all right? Pray for the World. Just see Pastor Ben. He'll get you the book. And what you can do there is it's got all the different countries of the world and all the stats and what's happening in those countries, particularly in the context of the work of evangelism and missions. And it really, really helps you pray more effectively and more intelligently as you pray for the countries of the world and for our missionary staff. Part of the point I'm making here is that we're blessed to be a part of a fellowship. We're blessed to be part of a team that's effectively reaching the great spiritual harvest fields of the world. And a lot has been accomplished, but a lot remains to be done, as demonstrated in this video from just one part of the world where we are working so effectively, our Asia Pacific region of ministry. Let's watch this video clip together.
The unfinished task is the greatest epidemic of our lifetime. For over 100 years, men and women have labored, forging a path to the never reached, traversing uncharted territories, pioneering new movements, risking life, limb, and even family. But with their yes, they challenge governmental authorities, face hostile ideologies, and darken the doors of demonic strongholds. Unwavering in their conviction, they stood up for the oppressed and defended the afflicted. They contended for the miraculous, believed for the impossible, hoped for revival, and saw heaven come to earth. Those who gone before us went where no one else had yet been willing to go. In their dreams, they saw the very faces of generations who have not heard and may never hear. They did not go for clout or recognition, likes or comments. They sacrificed everything so that one more could hear. Their simple obedience built the very foundation our missions movement stands on and paved the way for us to do bigger, better, and faster. What will we do to honor these heroes of faith? Is this the end of their story or the beginning of ours? The urgency of this unfinished task has not diminished. This is the heart of God. Today, we stand upon the shoulders of giants. Their ceiling is our floor. It's our turn to journey to the ends of the earth. Will our yes endure? Will we stand in the gap for a generation who has not yet heard? Wake up! Don't delay. The nations are ready for harvest. Let's make history. Together, our yes will see heads lifted, darkness tremble, territories taken, churches planted, sickness retracted, visions fulfilled, souls saved, the broken restored, His kingdom come, and His will is done. Take the baton and charge ahead. Don't let this moment pass or complicate the call. This is a convergence, an assembling, a movement compelled by the mandate, go into all nations. We were made for this. The never reached are not numbers and need, percentages or pleas. These are people, faces, and voices of those that need to be reached. They've waited long enough. They're waiting on us.
Hallelujah. We stand on the shoulders of giants. The task remains unfinished. It's our turn to stand in the gap. Let's make history. Let's take the baton. We were made for this. The unreached have waited long enough. They are waiting on us. And so we give our all for Jesus because Jesus gave His all for us. We give our all for Jesus because our missionaries are giving their all for the lost. And finally today, we give our all for Jesus so that all can hear the gospel. Point number three, we give all we can so that all can hear the gospel. I don't know what giving your all looks like. That's between you and the Lord. But as Jackie and I prepare to do all we can do, I'm inspired by the example of a widow. We read about her in Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd. Can you believe this? Can you believe Jesus was watching what people were putting in the offering? That'll mess you up, won't it? Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything." What's the next word?
All
she had to live on. As we prepare to make our faith promises today, allow me to make a couple of quick observations from the example of this poor widow. First, again, I notice that Jesus is watching what we give for the work of his kingdom. And if that one verse isn't enough for you, I've given you other references, Acts 10:4 and Hebrews 11:4, that clearly state that God is watching what we give. He's looking, he's taking note of our worship and giving. It's not just sort of an unimportant sidebar of what we do as believers. It's an important, integral part of our discipleship and followers of Christ. It signals our understanding of what the kingdom is all about. God is watching. Not only was Jesus watching what people were giving, but he was so impressed by this widow's gift that he brought it to the attention of his disciples, and he brought it to your attention and mine because it's in the eternal word of God. Thank you for all those amens. See, some of you missed the all opportunity, and a lot of you missed the amen opportunity right there. But let me notice with me two things about her offering. Number one, her offering was sacrificial. The rich gave out of their wealth, did not impact their lifestyle. She gave out of her poverty. In other words, she was already starting from almost nothing. Most folks in her situation would justify and rationalize, well, we really can't afford to give anything to missions under these kinds of circumstances. But not this lady. She gave it all. Her offering was not only sacrificial, but it required faith. Please notice she had two coins. She could have given one, which would have been 50%, which is way more than most people give. People struggle with 10%. You know, this lady could have given 50%, but instead she gave 100%. She had two coins. That's all she had, and she gave them both. All she had to live on. So this gift required her giving in faith that God was going to provide. I suggest to you today that this widow's gift is a pretty good picture of what a missionary faith promise should look like. A missionary faith promise should be sacrificial. It should impact our lifestyle. And every year in my letter to you, I challenge you to just examine your budget for other things in your budget. And again, it's not that those things are wrong, whether we're talking about how much you spend to go to the gym or how much you spend for entertainment or cable TV or your dogs and cats. You know, I used to really give you a hard time about how much you spend on dog food. But when, you know, and I used to say, because, you know, dogs don't go to heaven. And that created such a backlash, you know, that people stopped giving to missions because they were worried about their dog. And so I just kind of said, well, maybe I need to take a different approach there. So we're going to say Fifi and Fufu get to go to heaven with you, okay? But here's the bottom line. I hope you're not spending more money on dog food than you are sending the gospel around the world. Amen. I hope your pets aren't more valuable to you than reaching the lost. Amen. My God, help us. If your faith promise doesn't impact your lifestyle, it may be that your lifestyle has a higher priority in your heart than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Secondly, missionary faith promise should require faith. If you've done all your calculations and figured out how much you can afford to give, well, thank you. The missionaries will certainly not turn down your gift. But don't call it a faith promise, because a faith promise requires faith. The Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary of all time after Jesus Christ, gives us a pretty good description of an appropriate faith promise as he writes to his supporters in Philippians 4:18. He says, I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are, and notice this, three things. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. I want us to consider those three descriptions that Paul gives us in regard to the missionary offerings he received from that church. A fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Remember that Ephesians 5:2 quote I gave you from earlier in the message, and walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and as a sacrifice to God. There it is again. As we prepare to make our faith promises, would you ask the Lord to reveal what an acceptable sacrifice would look like for you? What a fragrant offering will look like for you? Because again, it will be different for each of us. And while I know that humanly speaking, a faith promise goal today of $2 million sounds impossible, I know that with God, all things are possible. We set a goal of $2 million last year in faith promises, and we came up just short of that. And, I'm not ignorant of circumstances. I'm not ignorant of the situation that we've all been facing. Heard a lot about COVID-19, but forgive me for being a little blunt today. COVID-19, that was 2019, and we're through 2019, we're through 2020, and we're almost through 2021. Somewhere along the line, COVID-19 has to stop being an excuse. Thank you for all those amens. Somewhere along the line, we're going to get on with advancing the kingdom of God. Whatever the challenges and situation may be, God help us to give our all for Jesus, to do all that we can for Jesus. If we do, then I know reaching this goal is possible. And again, look at the impact that our giving can have. And again, in the letter I sent you, I showed you there a chart. You say, well, Pastor Tim, are you putting a price tag on an eternal soul? No, we already know the price tag on an eternal soul. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no more valuable price tag that could be put on an eternal soul than the blood of Jesus Christ. What we give you is a chart that shows you the impact we can have in our missionary giving. As for every $300 now, used to be a lot less than that 30, 40 years ago, but as we move into more difficult parts of the world and the world has changed and economies have changed, what we know now is that for about every $300 we give to overseas missions, a person is not only saved, but they're added to the overseas church. And so that gives you an idea. This is how much of an impact. These are how many souls we can be responsible for in the year ahead. And all we're challenged to do today is to give our best for Jesus. Or as I like to say, give his best. Give his best. And my other dream, I mentioned the dream of one day supporting all of our missionaries. Here's my other dream, and this one is very doable. It's that we would have 100% participation at Calvary Christian Church. Everybody can do something. I'll say that again because you're missing an opportunity to say amen. Everybody can do something. Amen. Everybody can do something. And so I say this every year. Let me say it again. There are a lot of things money cannot buy. Money cannot buy you love. It can't buy you peace. It can't buy you joy. It can't buy you happiness or fulfillment. There is, however, one thing money can buy, and that is opportunity. And the financial commitments we make today to our missionaries will allow them to walk through those open doors of opportunity that God opens for them. As one new missionary candidate said to us, if you will invest in me, I will invest my life in the mission field. Let's not miss this opportunity. So if you take out that missionary faith promise card that we've provided for you, and those of you watching online, you can download our app and to give. You can go to our website. Those of you who are present, you can pick up a physical card, or you can scan our QR code and follow the prompts. All of this stuff is way over my head, but I still like to get the physical card and do it this way. But one way or the other, if you'd fill out your faith promise commitment, if you'd be sure to give us your name, we can't make financial commitments to missionaries without, from an anonymous donor. So thank you for putting your name on it. Only one that sees this is our bookkeeping department. And then if you tear off that little part of the card and keep the little piece as a reminder for prayer and as a reminder of your commitment today to give of what you're committing to give over the next 12 months. Our missions calendar runs from November 1st of 1 year through October 31st of the next year. So thank you for your faithfulness in giving along these lines. If we do the same as we did last year, here's the deal. Not only can we not give our missionaries a cost of living increase, we can't add any missionaries. In fact, this past year, because the missions budget was as tight for most of the year, the missions budget was as tight this last year as it's ever been. And so we couldn't add new missionaries unless we had senior missionaries retiring, coming off the field. Then we would put a new missionary in there immediately. But we were not really able to add more. And we have missionaries lined up at the door, so to speak, saying, Pastor Ben, Pastor Tim, you know, we're still waiting. We're still waiting to hear from you. We can't go overseas until we have our full support raised. Will you add us to your missionary staff? And of course, we want to say yes as soon as we can. They're counting on us. They're counting on Calvary. A lot of churches facing difficult times. We understand that. But Calvary is going to be faithful to keep doing what God has called us to do. He's blessed us to make us a blessing. Well, we're gonna get ready to give here in just a second. Let me read this little note I received from an 8-year-old girl recently. Dear Pastor Tim and Jackie, wanted to tell you that God touched my heart this week. He said, you should be a missionary for me. And it was just as if he had stood before me. And right then I started to think, how would a missionary speak to people? I could just tell people, you could just tell everybody this wonderful news. I'm so happy about it. And I just know that God has spoken to me and told me to be a missionary for him. And I think being a missionary is the best job for me. I'm just so happy that God wants me to be a missionary for him. 8 years of age. You say, well, that's kind of sweet and cute and nice, Pastor Tim, but you know, who knows what will become of that 8-year-old. The overwhelming percentage of our missionaries will tell you, we received a call of God to go be a missionary when we were a child or a teenager. So these things stick. Don't make no mistake about it. And we had a 22-year-old young lady in our missions convention just 2 weeks ago confirmed that God had called her to full-time vocational ministry. So you have two choices today. You can either accept the call to go, and if you're not going, then accept the call to give. And so we thank you for your giving. Here's how we're going to close. I'm going to ask our altar workers if you would come and take your places around this altar. Every Sunday they're here to pray with you. No one ever needs to come to church and leave without prayer. We get dozens of calls every week, certainly get calls every day. This prayer need, that prayer need, and of course we're happy to minister to people. But I will often say to them, because I'm just sort of an assertive guy, I'll say, well, were you in church on Sunday? Well, no. Well, you know, be good to be in church for starters. Or if they say, yes, I was in church, I'll say, did you come forward for prayer? Well, no. Well, why not? And, you know, people have all their reservations. These folks are here to pray for you. There's no reason for you to leave here without prayer. Whether you need Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, whether you need healing, whether you've got a family situation, a financial situation, whatever the case may be, you do not ever need to leave church without prayer. So they're here to pray with you and for you. I'm going to invite the ushers to come, and we're going to do what we haven't done for a year and a half, and that's just pass the offering bag to put your faith promise card in it. If you don't want to touch the offering bag, just go, ooh, and pull your hands back, and the person next to you will probably take it. Hopefully we don't get 4 or 5 of you in a row or we're in trouble, but you can just leave your faith promise card in the offering receptacles in the back as you leave today. Again, those of you online, if you'd follow those appropriate steps that we provided for you there. The musicians are going to come, lead us in a closing prayer. And so we're going to receive the faith promise cards. We're going to come for prayer. First time visitors, I'm going to see you next door in a moment. And we're going to believe God for $2 million to take the gospel around the world. Amen. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? Lord Jesus, we owe you everything today. So there's no way we could ever pay you back for what you've done for us, nor should we even try. What we do desire today, Lord, is that whatever we offer to you in faith promises will be an acceptable sacrifice, a fragrant offering, and pleasing to you. In your name we pray, amen, amen, amen. God bless you as you come for prayer. God bless you as you give your faith promises. Worship team, come and lead us one more time.
Thanks for joining us this week on Calvary's podcast. Be sure to visit our website, calvarychristian.church, to stay up to date with events, sermons, and ways you and your family can get connected within our community. We hope to see you in person or online at one of our weekend services. Once again, thanks for listening in today, and we look forward to having you join us next time.